You have your Bibles, you can turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. That may be the last time I'll say that for a little while. Although if anybody has any thoughts that I think that I've said it all or even said half of it or any fraction of it, that's not my thought at all. I'd like to read, beginning with verse 31, read through the end of the chapter, and I'm not going to preach a long sermon. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And then my text for this morning. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we have prayed many times in this service already, but we pause one more time. And we pray that in this time, God will speak to each of our hearts. We open our hearts to your word. We expect you to speak. And yet, Lord, we would be active participants in this message. We would listen eagerly for what the Spirit has to say to our hearts. Touch our lips to speak, our ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've come to the close of this brief series on Romans 8. We've talked about having a mind that was controlled by the Spirit, which is life and peace. And we have seen that a normal Christian lives without condemnation, is free from the law of sin and death, is indwelled by the Spirit of God, is aware of spiritual life. A normal Christian has an increasing awareness of the fact that he is a child of God. Normal Christian has sustenance in times of suffering. He does suffer, but his suffering can be shared with Jesus Christ. He has help and enabling in prayer. He has a sense that in everything God works for his good. He has a sense of being a part of the eternal purpose. We've talked about all those things. Isn't that great? And we've skipped over some of the most important part. I read a little of it this morning, but speaking about the fact that God freely, along with his Son, verse 31 and 2, gives us all things that are necessary for abundant life. But St. Paul has saved the very best for the last in this great chapter. For he says that all of these blessings that pertain to us as normal Christians, that are ours, we can expect them as we let Jesus Christ live in us and let the Holy Spirit control our minds. All of these blessings are not for a season, but they are permanent. There is no separation ever, forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. He asked the question, what can separate us from these blessings? What can separate us from the love of God? And the last exultant paragraph, in my way of thinking, it's not a shout. It's a quiet statement of awe. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Life's greatest tragedy is not to realize that we can know and love and enjoy God. Life's greatest tragedy, the greatest tragedy of existence, is to wake up and realize what might have been, or to be separated from God. The very word separation conjures up pain to me. I don't even like to see a little kid in Zaire's who's gone around the corner and can't see his mama. And maybe some people smile when they hear that little kid's cry of panic. I don't. It's real. And yet all earthly separations are just a pale shadow of the desolation of the soul that wakes up to the fact one day, I was created to enjoy God. I was made to enjoy His presence, and I am separated from Him. I hesitate to take time when I don't have much left, but let me just leave this with you. Our family used to do a lot of things together. When we lived near New York City, many is the time before I knew it was fashionable that we had tailgate picnics right down in Manhattan, roast corn and everything. One of our favorite places was the Staten Island Ferry. Another, that's a beautiful ride for a dime. And I still recommend it to you. Another one of our favorite places was the Museum of Natural History, which has about 72 main rooms, one of the large museums. It's the second largest in New York City. The big one across the Central Park there is even bigger. I remember when my kids were about this big, and I guess Steve must have been about 9 at the time. Here we go, the Metcalf tribe. We'd had our picnic, and we're going through from Africa to Asia to Antarctica and different places and just oohing and aahing. And we got so we thought we knew the museum pretty well. But Steve always has had an inquiring mind, and somewhere along the saber-toothed tiger, he lingered while the rest of us went along. We didn't notice it, naturally, immediately, until somebody said, "Where's Steve?" "I don't know, where is he?" And thereon followed 2 hours of separation. 2 hours. At first it was kind of funny. "Have you seen Steve?" say to uniform guard. "Have you seen a little boy?" The guard would say, "Steve?" He had been all over that place, and he was running and staying ahead of us, or wait, he was trying to find us, but just by coincidence. And finally, it's a big place, too. We go from one place to another place to another place, and for 2 hours, any kind of fun left after about 10 minutes. Pretty soon it became apprehension. You know, it isn't likely that you can lose a little boy in Manhattan, but stranger things could happen. We were from Poughkeepsie, New York at that time, about 75 miles up the river. A matron did say to Steve during that time, "I'll put you in a taxi and send you home." He said, "To Poughkeepsie?" Steve has always been a kind of a hard-minded little guy, a tough little kid. But I think when I finally came around, somebody finally said after 2 hours, "I think he's down by the subway station," which is in the sub-basement. And I think as I came around the corner and saw Steve sitting on a bench there, I think I see him go like this with his sleeve. That's as close as I ever came to seeing him cry. He's a tough little kid. I didn't cry either at the time. But the desolation of just about losing somebody you love very much, wondering. Every parent knows it, even if your kid is pure gold. Every parent of a teenager, you know what it's like when it gets 11 and 11:30 and 11:45 and you wonder, should I call the police or shouldn't I, you know? But that's just a pale shadow of what it means to be separated from the love of God. We can know God's love. Such love is experienced by a mutual faith. God has faith in us. We have faith in Him. And this faith may become an abiding assurance. Paul says in verse 38, "I am convinced. I am persuaded. And Paul was persuaded in a way that a brand new Christian, to my way of thinking, can't be. I believe a brand new Christian can know God and can know that God will never leave him. But veterans like Paul can say with a quiet assurance, nothing can come between me and God. God's unaffected by the most extreme changes in our condition. We can be rich or poor, young or old. God's love can't be diverted by any other power in all of the earth or in any other world. No accusation can stand against us. All hell's power can't wrench the weakest Christian out of God's grasp. Praise the Lord. God's love can't be affected by time. The suns are going to burn out. The planets are going to decay. But God will never get tired of you or me. Death can't separate us. God's love is never subject to limitations of space. And once again, this is not the enthusiastic shout of a young convert who sees the adventure, but this is an old veteran who's worn out many a pair of sandals on those rough Roman roads. And he says with quiet assurance, I know nothing can separate me from God's love. There's a quiet hymn that I want us to sing in closing, and it'll run us over about 3 minutes. Well, let's sing it quietly but with assurance, and sing with the confidence that this assurance can be each of ours. Immortal love, forever full, number 48.
Father, you have spoken to us this morning, and we thank you for that. May we, each of us, know that deep, abiding assurance as we live out this day and the days of this week that nothing can separate us from your love. In Christ's name, amen.